I forgot. Oh, using this now. Are we on? Can you hear me? Man, I'm gonna get adjusted. I'm gonna have to get adjusted to this because, you know. Anyway, let's do it. Let's do it. God bless you. Shall we stand? Is that clock a little ahead or something? I got 7:41 on my thing. What do you want me to finish early or later? It's ahead by what, 5 minutes? Okay, it doesn't matter. That don't dictate when I start and when I finish anyway. Amen. Thank you, musicians. It's kind of a little warm here, isn't it? Or it is me? No, it's me, huh? Oh, no. Maybe because I'm nervous or something. I don't know. I never got adjusted to this thing, you know. Let's see how good can we do with this microphone. I like to use both hands usually. I talk with my hands and my feet and everything else. But anyway, I am so glad that I'm here tonight. Are you glad? Are you happy? Amen. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate the Lord. Amen. You know, it is too late. It is too late to play church. You know, it is too late to you know, stay behind somewhere. It is too late to, you know, sometimes we just want to do other things, but it's too late for all that. You know, it is time to really hunker down. Get your anchor down in that rock that is Christ and just claim all those promises. That's where we are now. The time of playing church is over. I don't know how people would not understand that. You know, it has to do with your salvation. It has to do all with life and death. Life and death. I'm trying to move these pages as fast as I can. I am so happy because Brother Doug has been talking about resting. And I think that is a subject that we need to really, really take to heart. Because resting, I believe, is what we're supposed to do now. We're supposed to be resting in God's word. Not only that, but God should be resting in each one of us. Because he wants a house to rest. And you are the living stone. God is resting in you. And you are resting in his promises. And his promises is his word. And his word is God. So we're resting in God. Amen. So I believe that that's the time we are living right now. You know, because Jesus, when he left to prepare a place. He said, I'm going. Don't trouble. Don't let your heart be troubled. You know, don't get all anxious. Don't get all worried. You know, don't get all, you know, bent out of shape. I'm going to prepare a place. And wherever I am, you guys can be with me also. And he went and said, in my Father's kingdom, you know, in my Father's house, where there are many mansions. But Brother Brown says that's not the real explanation. It's in my Father's kingdoms, there's many houses. So because a kingdom, you know, you have a kingdom and you have a domain. And the kings are there in the king, in the big castle. But are there the little houses, you know, the subjects are there. So Jesus said, I'm going to prepare, you know, a house. And you are the house of the living God. And brother been preaching about that. See? You make up the house, the tabernacle of God. Amen. And that's, I'll let you sit in a minute. You've been sitting down too long. I got to stand up anyway for a couple of hours at least. But you know, that is the story of Ruth and Boaz, our Redeemer, right? What is the last thing she did? She rested. She rested what he went out to what? To finish the deal, the redemption. And that is the last thing that Jesus Christ did. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to take care of this. You just rest. And I believe that we should be resting in his promises. And not being worried and bent out of shape. Let it happen, whatever is going to happen. Because it's coming. Amen. And we should be resting in his promises tonight. Amen. Let us quickly read. You know, talking about rest, I've been meditating and I've been thinking about all the sermons. I mean, how many enjoy all the sermons that the brother been bringing in resting? And I don't know, it just, you know, I guess affects me a lot when I hear certain things. You know, not everything is for me, but there are certain things that really, you know, affects me a lot, and I go and check them out and I meditate on it. So, because we're living in a day that, according to our message, says there's two spirits in the church, in the infrastructure of the church, working in the church, you know. And when the bride knows and can discern those two spirits, and those two spirits, we know, they are the religious spirit and the spirit of God. That's the only two spirits around. Amen. So when brother was talking about that, and he went to Luke 11:24-26, I want to read it. You might have to put, yeah, thank you. This kind of took me someplace, you know. And I want to share with you what that place is. Now, you have heard everything that I just said. Now, you have heard it. The only thing you haven't heard it from me, that's what's new. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, he passes through waterless places, and he explained what that was. Yeah, water is something that we need for our existence. I mean, water is needed for just life completely in a planet. The first thing they're looking for, water. Because if there's water, there must be life. Seeking for rest. That's the word rest. And finding none, he said, I will return to my house from which I came. See, he was cast out of a body, of somebody's house. Somebody got saved. They cast out and he got all cleaned up and sanctified. And then what happened? He says, I'm going to return to my house. Maybe there's a chance, see? Because I cannot find no place to rest. And when he comes, he finds that the house was swept and put under what? A clear order. And when he comes, he finds that the house was swept and put in order. Then he goes and brings seven other spirits. Not demons, spirits. Spirits and demons are two different things. More evil than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person was worse, is worse than the first one. Now, so I started thinking, I'd like to know what those seven spirits are. Do anybody knows? Can anybody tell me? I mean, it sounds good, seven spirits, but if we don't know, you can discern those spirits. How do you know they are here or they are not here? Okay? I'm not weird. Don't worry. I'm not going to preach something that is out of the message. But you don't like to. I wanted to know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We love you, Lord, and thank you for allowing us to come back to the house of the Lord to worship you. Father, to render worship to you, the one that deserves all the worship and all the honor. Father, we thank you because you have created us. Not only that, but you sustain, you maintain your creation, and you also keep us, Lord, alive and well. Father, we thank you for this congregation. Now, Lord, speak to them. Father, I will set myself aside, Father. And if you come and speak to your people, do you know what they have need of? And this little subject you have put in my heart, I just ask you to take it and take it through, like, use the Holy Ghost, Father, so he can go out and there and talk to people's hearts, Father. We love you. Be with Brother Doug. I think it's daytime over there and they're ready to have service. Strengthen him. Use him in a mighty way. Use him to stir the water, to stir people's hearts. We are too late, Father. We need to be stirred, Father. We need to be shaken out of our sometime that Laodicean age that we are living, that relaxing, Lord, sometimes just taking it easy, slumbering, because that is what Satan wants. But shake us one more time, Lord, tonight. Shake us, Lord, so we can just continue the journey that you have put in front of us. Father, give us the strength. Give us the wisdom to continue. Father, we are depending on you, because without you, we are nothing, Father. Thank you for the visitors, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them here. And we just pray that if we say something, Lord, that you can use to impress in their heart, Lord, we ask you to do that, Father. But also talk to us, because that's why we came. We want to hear your voice, because without you, we just nothing. The word is life unto us, Father. And not the man do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In Jesus' name we ask you these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So, seven spirits. And we're going to chase those guys down. Because I wanted to know. That's all. And you know, sometimes I ask God things. The Bible says you knock, you seek, you ask, and it shall be given, it shall be opened. So when I want to know something, I just insist and read and search and read my Bible and meditate. And voila, sometimes when I'm really at, I thought I'm done, he comes, the answer. See? I wait upon the Lord. Everything that I need, I wait upon the Lord. And we have to be patient. That's one of the qualities, characteristics of being a Christian. Patience. Abraham was patient and waited 25 years. I didn't have to wait 25 years, just a few minutes, and God gave me the answer. So, what is the answer? The answer is that this spirit is a very, seven spirits, a very religious spirit. In fact, like I said, they are not demons or sickness. So you don't have to worry about them, you know, making you sick, even though we do get sick. These spirits are more into relationships, breaking relationships, not so much into it, breaking them. It's more like Jesus said, love. Well, they're trying to tempt Jesus, you know, those Pharisees. In Matthew 22:36, you want to put it up, they said, Master, which is the greatest commandment? And he says, in the law. And he says, thou shalt love thy Lord first. We always and most. God is first. Above anything or below anything, God is always first. And then you love God with all thy heart. It's not a mental thing. It's not an intellectual. Or you have to be educated to love him. Either you love him or you don't. Either your heart that he has already changed. Because with the heart that you have before that, and I had before that, we cannot even love ourselves. We cannot even love our neighbor. But he came and took the stony heart, and he gave me a heart now that I can love him back. I love you back. See, but before, I was mean. Mean, we're not going to go there anyway. Yeah, you laugh. I must be the only mean one here now. Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart. But we have a new heart, and with thy soul, and with all thy mind. That just kind of took everything. There's nothing left. And the next one, what he says, that is the first and great commandment. And what is the second one? The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't know where people got this. God first, family. It sounds good. I mean, I like it. Family, then last. The only thing I found in the Bible, if somebody knows where that at, let me know. But I found out in the Bible, it says, your neighbor is second. Second of from you, I mean, because your neighbor is the one that is next to you right now. You don't have to be in a neighbor in a house next to you. But your neighbor is the one that is next to you right now. The one that you, when you go to Walmart, that guy that is, you know, walking around, that's your neighbor. But he's next to you. That's what neighbor means, next to you. Anybody that crosses your path next to you is your neighbor. And you have to love even your enemy. Oh, that is a hard one, huh? Not only your neighbor, but even if your neighbor is your enemy. We cannot do it, but he can do it in us. Whoa, don't go away. And what is the next one? Oh. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. And next, I think I got the wrong scripture, but anyway, I know what the rest is. But that's what it is. Anyway, I don't want to keep reading because that's all I have is that one. Love God, love your neighbor, and then in those two hangs the prophets and the law. So what we're going to look at now, this seven spirit, you know, has to do with keeping people loving one another. It's not they're going to make you sick. It's not going to do something else or make you go crazy. But it makes you hate, you know, your friends. It makes you hate your neighbor. It makes you hate just about everybody. Because these spirits are contrary to God's word. Anything that is contrary to God's word, it has to be hateful. Well, let me get to it because I know you're waiting. So, here are the seven Proverbs. And you've seen this before, Proverbs 6, from 16 to 19. And here we go. There are six things that the Lord hates. And if the Lord hates, we should hate it too. We don't hate people, we hate sin. We hate things like this. But he says, yeah, and the seventh one is an abomination unto him. So what is the first spirit? It's a proud look. Somebody that is proud. God hates people that are proud. The second spirit is a lying tongue. The third one is the hand that shed innocent blood. And the next one is the heart that devises wicked imagination. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. False witness to speak lies. And the last one that sows discord among brethren. So the house is clean, and this guy goes and gets seven spirits that are worse than him, and the whole situation after is worse. Can you imagine carrying these seven spirits that I just told you? These are religious spirits. There's nothing about sickness. It's all about, and it's fixed, and these sins are fixed, you know, actually in your neighbor, you know, in your brother. That is who this spirit wants to attack. So I was going to describe every one of them. And I have them over here. I don't know if I want to do that. Time is running, and it's going to take a little time to do it. So let's do something different. Let's the message describe them. Okay? And you're going to rule with me. Yeah, trying to get out of here easy, see? But let's see. Tim, the quote, Brother Tim, says, now, you cannot stand neutral. That means you're either going to be serving God, you're a Christian, or you are not. You are going to be filled of something. Either you feel of God, or you're going to be filled of something. Because this guy that was empty, the house was clean, sanctified, didn't fill it up. But something will fill you up. It doesn't matter what it is. You cannot stay neutral. He says, you just cannot do it. When the unclean spirit is going out of a man, he walks in dry places. The man goes down and gets saved. See? He gets clean. He gets forgiven. And they take him back to church. See? He's taken back to church. It's more in there. But what Brother Brown is trying to say is that he gets churchianity, you know? He become a churchgoer. But see, that's not what God wanted. But we're going to continue reading. That the way it is with the true born again experience of God. Man say there's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, somebody that had an experience with God and is saying that, he says, it shows he hasn't got it. Because one that is filled with the Holy Ghost, that's God's word. You cannot go against his word. If you go against his word, then it's not God. There's something else. But he says, the true born again experience. Yeah, you cannot know such a thing about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and show that you hadn't got it. See, he trusts in his own creed. We trust what God said. Now, that happens. You cannot stand neutral. You have to be filled with something to survive. And the Spirit needs to find somebody to survive. That's just the law. He says, you might be filled with a bunch of malice. Okay, the seven spirit, we do that. You might be filled with a bunch of prejudice. So full that you can even sit and hear a sermon preached. That's what sometimes, you know, when we come, you know, and we bring out demons and spirit, not you, I'm talking about the church down the street, you don't do that, you don't bother me. I'm not fighting with spirits right now. What happened? We start preaching, and what happened? They get kind of, moving around because they don't want to be around. Whatever the word of God is, they don't want to be. Why? Because all that is contrary to the word of God. See, I hope that preacher finished. I hope he's fitted you, okay. He says, you might be filled with a lot of hatred. You despise everybody that don't agree with you. Not just saying, that's not, we don't do that. No, you don't, because you got the Holy Ghost. So for this for you, this is like, I don't know, well, it's not me, it's somebody else. But nevertheless, you're not immune. Nobody's immune. You might don't get this whole seven spirit, but sometimes Satan sneak one on you. He's very sneaky. Maybe hatred, malice, something, But that's what I'm bringing this, because this is the spirit that we had to, make sure we can discern in church. He says, you desire everybody, you don't agree with you. You despise everybody that don't agree with you. You might be filled with a lot of nonsense too. You might be filled with a lot of Arthur Godfrey dirty jokes. So much that you think too much, so much of that. You won't go to church on Wednesday night or something. You might be, that's something, that spirit is so filled with so much beside God that they don't want to come to church on Wednesday. I don't have nothing else to do but worship God. And you might say, you're probably a very boring person. I am. I am boring. But, I come to church and I come alive. So it's all depend what you're looking at. See, you might be filled with autograph, dirty jokes, so much that you won't even go to church on Wednesdays. Well, I don't want to say that people that should be going to church are not here because they're doing something else. Yes, they're doing something else. I just don't know what they're doing. Because if you won't have the spirit, you come to church, the Holy Ghost will drag you, not drag you, but the Holy constrain you to come to church. He says, to church on Wednesday night or something, you might be filled with Elvis Presley rock and roll. That's true. But you are filled with something. So if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, something is going to fill you. It says, and you own life bear records of what you are filled with. So it's Wednesday, and where is the rest of the people? I'm not worrying about them so much that I'm worried about my own self. But if that's all it is, what happened? They must have something better than coming to church. That is a spirit. Why Satan do it? Because he wants to keep people out of church. See, church is where you get delivered. Right. Church is where you grow. Church is where you hear the word of God. Church is where you get cleaned up, washed up by the word. Church is where you like to come. If you want to get rid of your own self, like me, I hate myself. I want his spirit in me. See, but some spirits don't let go. This one went back. And the second stage was worse than the first one. I don't know anybody that had gone that far, but I know some people do. Misjudge, and some people do disagree, and some people do, and there's nothing wrong with disagreeing. You know, I've been married for 40 years, and we're still not agreeing everything. You know, but you know, it is all right if you disagree. The thing is, you have to love each other. We have to love her, even if we disagree. He says, and your own life bear record. See your fruit. The fruit of you shall know them by the fruit. You are filled with something. You might be filled with a bunch of laziness. See, I'm lazy today. I can't go to church. Well, that's a spirit. No wonder. You know, we're going to have some kind of, you know, praying line and start, you know, rebuking all the spirits. Not out of you, but out of the people when they come. Because I mean, I'm not trying to be funny about the people that don't come, but Brother Brown says, you won't even come to church on Wednesdays. You won't even come to church on Sunday night. And so what else are you supposed to think? That they are filled with something. But not the same thing I'm filled with. Because if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, how many Holy Ghosts do we have? Do I have a Holy Ghost in me that made me do what, you know, and made me line up with the Word? And it's another Holy Ghost that is less, you know? No, there's just one Holy Ghost. And don't take me, I'm not the measuring stick. The Word is the measuring stick. It says, you may be filled with bunches of laziness, just too lazy to do anything about it. Well, you don't have to be that way. Oh, praise the Lord. If we would have left it that way, there wouldn't be no hope for nobody. Well, you don't have to be that way. Christ died that you might be cleansed from all those things. And the guy was cleansed. You might be filled with a bunch of creeds. You might be filled with a bunch of denomination. People come out of denomination, but denomination don't come out of people. You know, they come with the ideas, and they come from other churches that even messes churches that they come with their own ideas. You know, even though we have our own culture and how we do things, but they want things done their way. But that's the spirit. People are full of their own denomination ideas. He says, but God don't want you to be filled with that. Praise the Lord. God made a place in there to put himself in. See? God wants you to be filled with himself, not with the world, not with things of the world, but with himself. And if I'm filled with him, what do you think you will do if you are filled with him as well? You will do what the world God tells us to do. Not what I do, but what he says. Let the will of God be our desire. Let the will of God in heaven be done in what? In earth. And what is his will? He wants to reign in our bodies. He wants to feel. You know, he wants to come down and feel you more than you want to be filled. Man, what a kind of a desire, you know. We don't even have to even, sometimes we try so hard. But you don't even have to try so hard. He loves you more than you love him. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost more than you want the Holy Ghost. What do you have to do? Rest and wait. Okay, he said he will do it, and he will do it. He says, God wants you to be filled with himself. What takes place when you are filled with God? When you are filled with God, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You are filled with power. You are filled with love, joy, peace. Oh, these spirits are different. I like that spirit. But that's the fruit of the spirit. See, that's contrary to the other one. See, the two spirits. Long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, with worship. See, what did Brother Brannan added the with worship? Because that scripture don't have with worship. unless I read it wrong. Why do you think he had that with worship? I thought you know it well. You are filled with joy. David said, my cup runneth over, says, amen. And if David had a cup running over, let's see, let me get this set. Running over before the Holy Ghost come, that was before the Holy Ghost was even given. See? What would it do? What it will be now? You are filled with you have to be filled with something. And when you are filled with man's ideas, if you are filled with churchianity, if you are filled with creeds, if you are only building yourself a Babylon that got to fall. If you are filled with yourself and with modern world, if you are filled yourself with lust, if you are filled yourself with pride, that's one of the spirit, pride and lust. He says, if you are filled with yourself with denomination, you are lost. He said, there are only one way to endure, that is to put the original thing that God made that compartment in your heart to be filled with. You know, that little place in your heart. You know, he said, and that was the Holy Ghost. But if we don't fill it with the Holy Ghost, it will be filled with something else. I don't know how people can... They don't understand. I mean, I can understand. I'm weak. I'm not strong. I'm not a match for the devil. Some people think that, you know, well, you know, that's all right. I will not do that. Or I will not be filled with that. How do you know? I mean, how can people can just in their own abilities and strength? You cannot fight the devil. The devil has been around for 6,000 years. And it's not because he's wise, but at least because he experienced a lot more than you have experienced. And he has tests and tests and tests a lot of people. And he has his little playbook, and he knows what it takes to, you know, do whatever he needs to do. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15:22-23. If you can put it up for me. I don't have it here, but it comes to my mind when I do a lot of reading and research. It's a lot of things floating in my brain. Whatever little bit I have, it's just floating there. Well, I don't have too much of it. 1 Samuel, I can probably... Is that it? 15:22-23. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. Amen. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burning offerings or sacrifices? That's worship. Worship. As in obeying the voice of the Lord. So worship is all right. But if it's not obedience attached to worship, worship is in vain. Oh, I felt good. I came and I feel great. That was a great worship. But what about being obedient to the word that comes right? In fact, worship is nothing if you're not obedient. You know that? He said, behold, to obey is better than what? Than worship. Sacrifices. The sacrifices of our lip. So if we come to church and we worship and we don't obey the word, the voice of God that comes after, then we just gather in vain. Because we didn't gather so much for the worship, even though the worship is needed to prepare the heart, to prepare the atmosphere, to cast out things, you know. The musicians always went in front. But when the word comes, that's really what we're here for. And if we don't obey it, then worship, yeah, make you feel good. And when you go out there, you just take your spirit and your demons and back again. He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now get this. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected Saul, Because he disobeyed. He did not obey the word of God. But listen what he's saying. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. What is rebellion? Mom and dad, you tell your kid, will you do this? And he says no. Or if he don't say no, he won't do it anyway. Either way, he didn't do it. What is rebellion? We come to church, we worship God, and we don't obey God. That's rebellion. Rebellion is to go against, you know, what is true. So that sin, now, even when we do that, if we come to church and we don't obey the word of God, we're still committing iniquity and sin. He said, because, he says, it's like the sin of witchcraft. You know what witchcraft, when Saul went to see the foreteller, she would tell the future. And you know what happened when you and I try to you know, foretell the future? That's what we do. Because without God, how do you know what you plan to do? It's going to happen. But if you tell me, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you know what you're doing? That's witchcraft. Because how can you assure me that what you're going to do is going to happen? The only one that can do that is God. I didn't say not to plan. But if you plan, make sure you said, you know, committed to the Lord. Lord, I'd like to go here. I'd like to do this. Lord, what are you? And wait on the Lord to give you an answer. But nobody, there's not a human being that can tell the future. The best thing they can do, they look back and they can foretell the future, forecast. You know what a forecast is, right? Well, if things continue this way and this way, you're going to with 2020 hindsight. If this continue this way and this behavior continue the way it's going, and if it's no change, well, good luck with that one, because that is the only thing that is stable in our world, changes. They just lying to themselves because, you know, something is going to change. But if this and this and this and this continue in the way it's going, behaving that way, then I'm going to tell you it's a 30% chance that it might rain. See, that's how humans do with their technology and with their education. But that is what, and I'm saying that, telling the weather is witchcraft, I'm saying that trying to figure out your next step on your own is rebellion. Because if you are a child of God, God needs to lead you. The Spirit of God needs to lead me. That is what the Spirit is here, to lead us. We don't go by flesh. You know, we don't go by sight. We walk by the Spirit of God. And if we don't do that, then we are stubborn. And that's a sin of rebellion. I know you don't think that way, and we don't do it intentionally. And that's one of the spirits. You know, lying tongue, false witness, you know. You and I don't do that intentionally. We probably made mistakes, but we go to God right away, see, because we want him. Sometimes we make choices, and sometimes we do things, and sometimes we do it in a time of quickness. You know, it has to be done, and you make decisions, and you fail, and we fail. But right away, we said, sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord, because it was not my intention. Now, I like to go to, that's why Brother Branham puts worship. Because the Spirit of God likes to worship, but it has to be obedience. That has to be attached to it. Like Brother Branham said, that love and faith are sweethearts. You know, are hand to hand. They go hand to hand. Also, worship and obedience got to go hand to hand. That's why they couldn't enter into their rest, Brother Doug was talking about. Because they were, throughout the journey, all they did was what? Criticize, they murmur. And they died, and I don't want this, and take us back to Egypt, you know, what's better over there? What did you bring us over here to die? And I don't want this manna, I want some meat, and I want water now. You know, it's hot, it's miserable. What did you bring us here to die? Now, you know, so they never enter into the rest. Because what? Because that's all they did. They God was t- tired of it after 40 years. He says, you shall not enter. You will not. Why? Because you didn't mix it with what? Your message was not mixed with what? With faith. See? So whoever comes to God has to believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those that what? That seek him diligently. They didn't. And our message came also. And we came out of the denominations, in Exodus. And we have a message. And if we are not obedient to that message, we will not get to our rest. But we have come to a rest because our rest is the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're talking here. The Holy Spirit is our rest. But you got to be obedient to the Word of God. He says, my loving friend, may I say this to you tonight? God wants us as one. But he wants us one, not under foolishness of man's head. Now, this is the last spirit that our spirit said, and I hate it so much, it's an abomination. Those that sow these cords. You know, those that are going around trying to separate, you know, telling lies, saying the things, you know, to criticize, whatever they have to do. The spirits will do anything to pull you away from the unity of the body. And God says, God, but he wants one, not on the foolishness of man, but he wants us to be united on the Godhead. United as one, one man, one woman, one church, one people, one view, one purpose, one motive, one objective, that Jesus Christ, one thing to serve him, one love of God, one brotherhood of man, one fellowship of the Holy Ghost, then we are united. That's where God is building this day, regardless of what the devil does. So God is trying to bring his house together. He said he will dwell in a house, not made by hands. But he's doing his own. And you are living stones. See? And God wants to bring that house together. Because he wants to live. He wants to, like in the Old Testament, he was in the desert during Moses' time. He was in the Holy of Holies, see? That was his habitation. Now, God has a habitation in heaven. God dwells somewhere. God is not everywhere, but because God knows everything, it's just like being everywhere. But God has a dwelling place. And in the beginning, they thought that he was in heaven, and he is. Brother Branham says, when he went to the third heavens, he went beyond the curtain of time. Paul went to the third heaven. Brother Brown went beyond the curtain of time. And when he was there, you know what happened? He was, you know, talking. And he says, can I see Jesus? Or can I see? And what they told him? Not yet. He's a little higher. He was in the sixth dimension. That's where the people that die dream. I mean, they don't die. They just go to sleep. That's where they go, to the sixth dimension. The seventh dimension is where God is. He said, you cannot do that. Nobody has seen God. Man, you won't see him until, who knows. So, and I like that because after he said, well, if I'm going to be judged, because they told him, you know, if I'm going to be judged, I just say what Paul says and what everybody said. We are resting on that. And that's why we rest. We rest on the word of God. Because God will bring his word to fulfillment. Listen, the Bible said that the word of God goes out and it's not going to come back in vain. It will do according to the purpose that went out. If God said it, God will do it. And that's settled. And that is what we are resting on. We are resting that God's word will be fulfilled. You know? And that's what I committed myself. He started the work, and he will finish the work. Amen. And that's where I'm resting. I'm not resting on my merit and my education, my ability. He said, I call you. I clean you. I fill you. And like it says, before the foundation all, there were those that I foretold, I predestined, I called, I predestined, and I what? Glorified. I'm resting on that. But as I'm resting on God's word, I'm also being obedient to the word. You cannot rest in his word and not be obedient. We worship God and we be obedient to his word. And then he makes sure that, you know, we be there because he said it. You know, I'm not here because I wanted to. It's not who wants and who runs and who, you know, it's whoever God wants to have mercy. I'm not here because I chose to be here. He chose me, and I'm glad he did, because I didn't even know there was a message. I don't even know it was a prophet. I just wanted to escape hell. That's all. But I got more than that. But I got nothing to do with that. It's all him. See? And he will do it. He said, whatever I started in you, I will finish it. And if you was in him before the foundation of the word, you'll be with him at the end just as well. Because that is the only thing that is eternal. God is eternal. So if you came out of God, you had to get back to God. But I didn't know that until I received this message that I was in him. You know, I wasn't worthy, but I'm worthy. The word makes me worthy. It is not me leaning on my own understanding. I'm not leaning on what I know, on what happens. I'm leaning in his word. You know? And everything else that comes, that want to exalt in sub, you know, above the word of God, that's people that are proud. That's what they do. They want to always get, they think they are so high and mighty. They think of themselves more than they should anyway. But they're going to find out that. But see, I just want to make sure that I stay in the journey and let the Holy Ghost be my leading one. Let me finish here. It says, it's getting hot. Somebody took, that's all right, I got an iPad here. I'll tell you what time it is. Okay. Time to finish. It says, God's building this day, regardless what the devil does. We are united as one. We won't fuss no more. We won't argue no more. We'll act like a man. We dress like man. We dress like woman. Sons and daughters of God, our character and conduct, our faith will prove it. Because that's what God did in the beginning. He spoke his word. He believed his word. And then the proof comes right behind it. See, this message has been more than vindicated. God always vindicates his word. So I am resting on that because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means whatever he did yesterday, he will do it today and do it tomorrow. Amen. He says, our faith will prove, see. So what we have to do, just rest in that faith. And that is not your faith. That is not your faith. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the faith, Christ was his victory. He was his victory, his faith. When we got saved, you know, we think we had faith to believe. You didn't. God has to give you that faith just to believe him. It is his faith, not yours. It says, by grace, you've been saved. We are saved. See, and that faith is what is of him, not of us. So God has to give me the faith that I needed to believe. It says, faith will prove. When God says anything, we say amen to it. If the Bible says for us to do certain things, we'll do it. We won't argue back. See, they murmur, they complain. All the way. See, we are not here to complain or murmur. Well, I don't know about that pastor. Well, I don't know about, I cannot have confidence. But if you don't have confidence in the word, then you have to find a place to you have confidence. It says, It says we won't argue back. We just go and do it. You know, it reminds me of Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross and when he got interrogated and he got slapped and we had kicked, he got whipped. The Bible says he never opened his mouth. Why? Now, if it was me, I'd be screaming all the way to the parking lot. Injustice. This is not fair. That guy rights. You know, this is the age of rights. But Jesus said he didn't open. Why? What do you think he didn't ever open his mouth? Because that was the will of God. God was not going to change it. He already knew. Whatever God decided to do, he was in Gethsemane, and he says, your will be done. If there's another way that we can bypass this, please, but your will be done. So he already knew what the will of God was, to go to the cross and die. So he went like a little sheep, you know, slaughter, you know. Why? Because he knew what the result was going to be. Why to complain? Why to even murmur? Because he knew that God already in his mind has, you know, provided all this program. So he, in his heart, he yielded himself completely to the program of God. You know, it is so nice to know that God started something. All I got to do is trust him. And if I don't like something, but that's me, or if something don't look right, or if I disagree, I just, because God is doing something. You know, and I don't want to stick my fingers in what God is doing. You know, and if God is doing something, if I complain, it's not going to do anything. You know, I start complaining at home because I never get any result for complaining. I don't complain anymore. You know why? My wife saying, yeah, right. I remind you those words. What, it don't make no sense to complain, you know, because God is going to take care. Sometimes we get sick, we get these tribulations, affliction, but all that is for your own good. Don't complain. He didn't complain because he knew what the will of God was, and he didn't need to open his mouth. It was done. That's it. It was settled. God said it. He believed it, and it was settled. There's nothing else to do. But the those people going in that journey came out of Egypt and they complained all the way. Do you think that they understood the plan of God? They didn't have a faintest idea. You know why? Because they never wanted to be obedient anyway. Because a child of God and a daughter of God always is obedient to the word of God. Regardless, sometimes it's painful. It's painful, but I know that this is the will of God, that sooner or later, he's going to finish the work that he started in me. But I had to let him. We had to yield to God. I mean, he will take care of it. If you get sick, it's for your own good. How can that be? Well, how God is going to create his character in you and shape you and form you if you don't go through nothing? Can you imagine that? We become child of God and it's over. Now we go to heaven and we don't have to go through anything. How will you learn? How will you learn what love is if nobody hates you? How will you learn what peace is if you don't do some war and you, you know, not you doing war, but that's what war is there. It's the contrast. You have to experience one in order to know the other one. Those angels that are in heaven, When the rapture comes and all this is done and we all singing around that throne, they're going to be looking and trying to figure out what is all that about. Because they never sin. They never were disobedient. They don't know. You know what love is because you also know what hate is. So the reason we go through life and we go through all this, because we have to learn the character of God. If we are faithful and obedient and we rest in his word, God will shape us slowly and form us to his own image. In the beginning, the Bible says that he made us in his own image. But he's the one that is shaping me and molding me. So whatever he wants to do, do it. You know, I'm not going to, you know, kick against the prick, you know, like Paul says. But everything is for our own benefit. Because that is the only way he's going to create that character. We won't argue. We just go and do it. That's what God wants us united under. If it's God, and God is the head, and God is leading, whatever he wants is what I want to do. Oh, how we are to act in this present day. We said we have the Holy Ghost. How should we should be the happiest people? Now, there's only one thing that can happen. Okay? What kind of people we should be? There's only one thing that can happen. There has to be a message at the end time, and it is when there's nothing else that can follow. See? Denomination cannot follow. This is an eagle age, you know, and that's the only bird that can fly higher, pressurized. You know, he has his eyelid, he closes them, he has visors, you know, made. And he can go as high and as fast, and no bird can follow. Brother Brown says this has to be a message that this denomination, he says, they cannot follow. And now the ecumenical world, has set up such a regime that there can be no denomination and no nothing else follow it. You are either in it, or you are what? Not in it. So what Brother Brown says, either you are a Christian or either you are not. You cannot be both. You cannot have a fit in and a fit out. You cannot say maybe or maybe so. You cannot be a halfway Christian. Either we are in or either we are out. Because we are going to be filled or something. The middle is not a good place to be. See? Because there is nobody going to be neutral. See? Because if you're neutral, you know what happened? He will vomit out of your mouth. So you're not going to be there too long. You're going to go down. Because that's where vomit goes down. It's not going to go up. Yeah, yucky. So we need to understand that if we are Christian, then let's sell ourselves completely out to the Lord. This playing church is over. The message has come, and this is the last thing that should happen. This is the sign that we were waiting for, and next the coming of the Lord. It says over here, you either in it or you are not in it. The fruit is on the top of the tree, or the vine, and the light is shining on the predestinated fruit, and she is ripening into a Christ-like fruit, bringing forth the same mellowness and sweetness and the same spirit that he had in him. Hope you see it. Now, I always said, hope I can, you know, that's me. See? That's 180 degrees from that other spirit. See? Hateful, you know, false, lying, hatred. See? This spirit is sweet and mellow. The anointed ones at the end time, and I'm almost finished. Notice, but it's what they produce that tell you the difference. By the fruit Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes of a thistle, even though the thistles be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. What is the fruit? The word. If you're not obedient, the word cannot be. You cannot produce. We cannot produce the word. And if we produce the word, then we have producing him in us. The sweetness, the gentleness, the word for the fruit of the season. This is the season. It's not Noah's message. It's not Pentecostal message. It's not Baptist message. It is the message of the hour. It says the fruit of the season and the word for the season. It says that's what it is. Their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time is it? Man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, but Or, see, either one or the other one. Or God's word for the one season. And people don't want to come to church, but the word is what washes you and cleans you. It's what helps you. It's what makes you grow to the stature of the perfect man that is Christ. The teaching. You will know people by their teachings. Because you cannot live no higher than what is being you being taught. So out there is a lot of teaching. But if it's not producing him, that is the wrong teach. I don't care who you are. I don't care what pastor says. So, but if your teaching is producing hate, divisions, you don't have to kill somebody physically, but you are, you know, your hands are ready to, you know, shed blood. I mean, you don't have to kill somebody, but you can stab somebody in the back and clean and just kill influence. That is just as bad as killing somebody. See, that of the Spirit will do that. But the Spirit of God, if we have the right teaching. Now, I want to say this. And you might agree with me or not, but it's just me saying it. I have not seen yet any. Well, I will not disagree. I will not disagree. I agree. Let me say it that way. I agree with everything that comes from this pulpit. Whatever comes from this pulpit, I have not yet have this. It's nothing in me to disagree. I think everything that has come have made me a better Christian today than I was yesterday. Not that I was bad yesterday, but since I've been here, it's not Brother Doug. Now listen to me. It is the teaching. And the fivefold ministry, the ministry of this day, is supposed to dispense a teaching that is going to make you mature. You are ripe. I mean, we are already there. And this S-O-N, the S-U-N is shining to ripe you. If you're going to ripe, that means it's a process. You don't ripe the one day to another day. It's a process. It's a process when you come and the word comes, it goes out, and the word, you know, challenges you, and you start growing. It is a process. You know, it's not going to ripen one day to another. And that's why we are here. We are ripening under the right teaching in the right season, that is the word. So, if I'm producing Christ, I'm in the right place. That's how you can tell what spirit is which one. And you can tell if they are under what teaching, what it's going to produce. We're not here to judge or criticize. I'm just saying, you know, how are we going to understand these things if we don't teach them? It says, what was I? The season, okay. The invisible, I'm almost done. I know you're finding out there, and I'm over here too. But it says, the invisible union. Now, notice, the anointing word of his day, of which you are part by predestination. You immediately like, know. Rabbi says, when you heard this message, you knew, it's what Brahmata said, right quick, that you was what? An eagle. It don't take 30 days, 40 days. Well, let me see if I like. Well, I don't know. Let me check this out. I had a friend that as soon as I received this message, I mean, it didn't take, 3 days right away. I accepted, got called, I heard my name, and that was it. I was sold in. And I never knew he was a prophet. I went to tell a friend. How can nobody will see this? I can see it. Anybody can see it. So I told my friend, you know what he did? He said, okay. Then I left. I spent all night talking to him, almost all night. Next day I left. And what he did, he went to this theological center in California. I don't know what, I forgot what it was. Anyway, you tell him your question, and they send you. So he sent it to me, everything that is against this message. Well, you know, I see it. I don't know why, and I don't need to figure it out. But I know what I know that I know. I cannot explain it to you. But I know. See? Because when I heard it said, Brother Van says that you were not a chicken, but you was an eagle, you realized it, and you right quick, you embraced it. You also realized that you wasn't a denominational chicken to begin with. You know there's something wrong there. There's something wrong. That's right. You know that you were trapped into it at the beginning. The bridegroom, took away your shame and put it in the sea of forgiveness by the washing of the word, the blood, the water of the word, and the blood of life. That's what the Bible says. You first husband, now you were married to the world, the anointed bridegroom, which for then you has washed you by the washing of the water. That's his word. See? By the church, he says, no, that don't sound right. Doesn't? No. You might find that in the almanac, but not in God's Bible. No, by the church, see? By the washing of the water, by the word, in the word, see? You are standing completely justified as you thought you never did it at the beginning. This is my message to the church. Now, as we go off the air, just a minute, you are standing on God's word, and with God's word, every amen, every jot, every tittle, wherever you are standing, where are you standing? I'm trying to tell you, pull away from the shock, see? Some people are a foot out there and a foot over here. And this is not physically. Physically, this is mentally, spiritually, you know. You can be here, but your mind can be someplace else. Or you say, well, I believe this message. I mean, they went in that journey. Everybody that came out of Egypt with Moses, not all of them made it. Not all of the people that said they are a Christian are Christian. And I'm not here to tell you who is or who isn't. I'm worrying about myself. But it says over here, it says, you are standing on God's word. And with God's word, every amen, where are you standing? I'm trying to tell you, pull away from the chalk. See, leave those denominational ideas. Forget about that. Forget about what they doing. That doesn't matter. And get out here in the wheat where you can get right before the sun. I hear the coming of the combine. You are standing complete justified like you never did it. And in first place. Hallelujah. Amen. So if he said that, then I will rest on that. My life will not be up and down and in today and out tomorrow and like a yo-yo, you know. Well, I don't know if today I'm happy, tomorrow I'm depressed. You know, if I'm resting in God, everything has finished. Every labor, every worry, everything. I don't have to think about being saved today and lost tomorrow. He saved me. He says I'm justified like I've never done it. So I'm resting on that. I'm resting on his word. Amen. One more. You can stand. Stand because I'm almost done. I got one more to read. It says, I threw this one here because, let's see. It says, I said a while ago to a young lady, just drive down a post right there in your mind. See, at some point, we got to get sick to being sick, and we better drive a post when Satan comes, and we need to. If I'm resting, you know, I don't need to him bother me no more. I'm done. I'm done worrying. I'm done anything. I'm just resting. So Satan, here I am. He says, and on this platform tonight, the prayers of faith was prayed for me. And Satan, the blood was put between me and you, me and Satan. So you might as well go. You can come up to the post, see? You can come up to the post and say, oh, here, I got a symptom. And I'm trying to teach you something. Because when we live here, Satan is not going to stop. But you need to tell him, you know, it's over. It's over. I'm resting. See, I'm a son of God. It says, and Satan, the blood was between me and you. So you might as well go. You can come up to the post and say, here it is, you know, the token. It's a post. This is the day I got saved. This is the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost. That is my post. And God said this and this and this, and I am anchored in that rock. Satan, I don't care what you said. Here it is. That's the day I got saved. This is the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. So you have to have a pose. Oh, he's not. He's going to drag you back to memory lane. But remember remember this. I remember that you would. Then he said, here's a symptom. You said, don't punch at it. Don't punch at it. What he's saying is, he comes and said, he's a symptom. So don't start, punching at Satan. What he's saying, don't get all excited. And the doctor said you got cancer. The doctor said you got this. Don't get all bent out of shape and start punching the devil and casting him out. This is what he's saying. Not do that. He says, do not punch at it. Don't punch it. Punch a snake. And if you keep doing that and rebuking it, he will bite you anyway. If you see a snake right there, you're not going to bother the snake. I'm going that way, but I just go around. You don't have to bother the snake. See, leave the snake alone, is what he's saying. Ignore the snake. He has a reason for saying this. He's saying, ignore, walk away from him. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. That's what happened to Eve. She stopped. She looked. She thought it was good to the eye. And after that, she was gone because started preaching to her. It was too late. You don't need to listen to the devil. You don't need to listen to his whatever. When he comes to you and trying to talk to you, you tell him, hey, talk to the hands. I'm done. I don't need to listen at you. The doctor said you had this and you had that. And he tried to put things, you sick. Said, I don't have time for you. That's all you have to tell him. Don't start punching him. This devil and blah, blah, and I'm going to cast him out. And so he is defeated anyhow. So there you are. So why will you try to defeat Satan when Christ already defeated Satan in the cross? He's saying, stop. You're wasting your time. You don't have to do that. He already done that. All you have to do is accept that. You don't even have to talk to him. Accept what he done on the cross. It is finished. Rest on that. And, tell that devil, I ain't got time. See, you're resting always in the Word. It says, don't punch at him. Don't. Oh, Lord, rebuke him. Rebuke him. Oh, don't do that. See, that shows that we are not resting. See? It says, you are weakening what you really believe. You know what happened after a while? You said, I pray, they pray. And nothing happened. So you're weakening your own faith. All you have to do is just rest in that faith that you already have. And that's it. He believed it. He said it. I believe. God, you prove it. And then you rest in that. There's nothing else. You want your family? You rest. Because he promised you your family. You want your healing? You rest. I'm not saying, but don't come and ask for prayer. But, it's in this, thing that we go through when we find out things and when he comes. We get, all shaken and worried and I got to do this and I got to do that. And I got to get some, herbs and I got to get this, My goodness, rest in the Lord. He says, don't punch it. See, you are weakening you whatever you really believe. See, you believe or you don't. That's all it is to it. If you come up, then believe and let that be settled. That's all of it. See, just stand right there and say, it is over. Satan, I like the song that you sing, it is over. I'm resting in his word, it is over. Over. And then whatever happens in the journey, whatever happens, You know, it's for your own benefit. You're just resting, resting, resting. Because whatever comes, God allows Satan to come because he has a purpose to work character in you. And he's using him for that character. So rest, little bride, rest. Just stand right there and say, oh, it's all over. That's all. That's got it. See? So that means, you know, you got prayed last week. Somebody got prayed the other week. And they come again this week. And they are not sure. And they wait for this minister to come. And they pray and get prayed. You know, either it happened or it didn't happen. What do you think it happened to that blind guy? He went a whole week. He didn't know how long it was going to take. Now we know it was a week. It could have been more than a week. But every day he got up, it was settled. I can see. The next day with his paper, I can see, you know. And he never, you know, got from that mental. Let me get my. And he never deviated from that mental attitude. So what happened? The day it happens, he was sitting there. He still have his sight, and the guy said, hey, I heard you got prayed, but yes, I can see. And that is settled. When you accept the word of God, you rest and it's settled. If somebody pray for you, it is settled. That's what Brahman said. If it's not settled, don't come up. It has to be settled in you that the word of God will be proved. I have to finish. Okay. He says, at the start appear for them. That's when Jesus was born and the Magi was following and the star appeared. The Holy Ghost has appeared for you. That's your star. Don't go to mechanical ways. See, that's why sometimes we go through the motions. And I rebuke you and I punch you and I kick you. And that's just going through the motions. See, don't be mechanical. Put in your name in the book and let that settle. Be born again. Receive the Holy Spirit. And that leads you to Christ. It leads you to a deep life, spirit-filled life, a happy life. Amen. How many believe that? You know, you don't see me smiling all the time, but I don't know. That don't mean anything. I'm still happy. See? Happy don't mean that I have to mechanically smile and laugh all the time. You know? Happy that I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with my church. I'm happy with the word of God. I'm happy with what I am and what he's doing in my life. I'm happy. Be happy. See, and don't complain. We don't murmur. We don't disagree. We're just happy to be here today. So where's the other happy people at? No. Just pray for them. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again. I know it's warm in here, Lord, but who cares, Lord? We came because we wanted to be together and have fellowship around the word. Father, we thank you for what you have brought us tonight. Thank you, Lord, because we are resting, we are anchored, we are in that word, in that rock that is Jesus Christ. That is the only place that is immovable, that rock. Everything else is rocky sand. It's the wind comes, the tempest comes, the storm, and if it's not anchored right, it's going to blow everything. Everything be shaken. The Bible said that in the last days, everything going to be shaken, and what is not in Christ is going to fall. Father, I thank you because you came to our life. Father, I thank you because I didn't know, but I'm so happy that I was a part of you in the beginning. Father, just help me now because I want to do thy will. My desire is to do what you want me to do. Father, help me to yield to your word, to submit to your word, to submit to your headship. Father, help me to do those things that are pleasing to you. It's what I want. It's my desire, Lord. We thank you again, Lord, for this group, this church. Father, bless them richly, Lord. We just waiting, Lord, just sitting, resting, like Mary was resting. Martha, Mary, well, it was Mary was resting at your feet. That's what she was doing, listening at the word, Father. But her sister was so worried and so caught up. She was not even rest. The Bible said that there's no rest for the wicked. Not that she was wicked, it's just the Bible said there's no rest. It's like a sea wave coming and going. There's never rest. Father, but we are at rest. We are sitting at your feet. We are learning from you. Father, like the Bible said, learn from me, lowly and meek. Learn from me. And the Bible said that Jesus learned obedience by the sufferings. So we come to worship you, Lord, but also we are coming to be obedient to your word. That word that went down become flesh if we are obedient to it, Father. We thank you and we appreciate you, Lord, for everything you have done. Be with Brother Doug, be with the family, Lord. Be with Brother Mike, those that are there, with the other pastors. Father, keep them, strengthen them, safe, and bring them safe back home, Lord. And in the meantime, Lord, give them strength, guide them, lead them in all good things, Father. We thank you and we appreciate what you're doing, Father, in around the world, this little bride. We love you, Lord, and we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. What is that song that you just mentioned when I was preaching about the bride? You remember? Were you hearing my preaching? Wait a minute. Anybody remember? Huh? Okay. No, that was not a test. That one that La Fontaine sings, the bride. One of the ones. Okay. Okay. Let me see. All is well. All is well. How that one starts? Oh, okay. All is well. That was a test to see if you was listening. I'm preaching. Start it for me, please.
All is well.
Yes.
All is well. We have heard the message.
Shalom means peace, rest, and peace.
All is well.
There's a perfect place.
There is a place
of perfect rest behind.